There you go. A little bit of Computer Camp Love there from Data Rock. Before that, you heard Butterfingers doing a little track called Fig Jam Mix. It's about 20 to 1 here on NIM FM 102.2. This is The Hemp Show. Michael, you said you had so much news, you're sitting there dumbfounded.
I have great news. I want to tell you about this other big event that happened this week. Happened actually yesterday.
You're talking in Nimbin,
yesterday,
weren't you? Yeah, what happened?
The opportunities that exist in Nimbin, all the time they're there, you know. I mean, we could take a couple of thousand Indians and they live happily off our waste, I reckon.
Anyway, go.
Anyway, we've been talking about making Rainbow Lane look a bit cleaner and sort of smarter.
It's
a bit,
yeah,
of a bit of a plan.
And
Else painted this... what do you call those blue tarps yesterday? And we hung it up and we took down the famous black plastic.
Okay.
Already the black plastic is legendary.
Absolutely.
Casually, the wealthy patrons of the lane just chuck the black plastic away, you know.
Yeah.
Me. Ever the... You know, who's that horrible man people accuse me of being? You know, the
Steptoe.
Yeah, or not Steptoe, it's worse.
His
the father
son.
Of Homer. The grandpa.
Grandpa Simpson.
Anyway, whoever.
No,
anyway,
I think Steptoe's far more your sort. I can see you leaping through a shoebox full of false teeth.
Cutting the black plastic into LSD-sized pieces as genuine souvenirs of Nimbin.
A piece of...
The original black plastic put up when the cameras went up.
Probably
back there
impregnated
in
with bong resin and smoke and stuff.
Fully laden is actually this whole sort of like fat above a stove, you know,
this whole layer of resin
on it.
Apparently it takes something like stove cleaner to get it off.
Anyway, I've got 17 million of these little tiny bits.
Far out. What a incredible idea.
We're packaging them up. And we're going to sell them. I'm not going to sell them for a few years.
How much?
We put 2005 on them. Oh, I thought $10 each, something like that. Cheap.
Yeah,
cheap.
1970s LSD prices. $10 a tab.
Yeah, that'd be right. $10 each.
Yeah.
I think for bulk. $8 or something. If people want to take 1,000 or something.
1,005.
Yeah.
Well, I'd go five for 1,000. For 1,000.
God, mate.
Hang on. You've only got 17 million. Let's not be squanderous with them.
All right.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. $8 definitely.
I reckon 8 for 100 or more.
Yeah. I see here.
Anyway, what an opportunity.
What an opportunity. Huge. Mm. Absolutely. I see here how they've seized a 2.8 ton of cocaine in Spain.
That's quite a job.
That's quite a snort and a half, isn't it? 2.8. They were on a couple.
They love cocaine. They're the bullfighters, mate.
Well,
these
people basically bought these couple of sailing yachts, filled them full of coke, and sailed them from Cuba to Morocco.
Beautiful. And then got caught
in Morocco with boats full of coke. Yeah.
This is why speed's booming, eh? You make it locally.
Yeah.
Ah, tragedy.
And on a slightly different, but it's still drugs, and it's drunk.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs are investigating a drunken incident in the NRL club's offices during the players' Mad Monday celebrations. Mad Monday is a day after you've lost your last game.
Yeah, that's right.
The 2004 NRL premiers have also launched a probe into allegations that, and I quote here, at least, unquote, one player was in possession of drugs during the club's end-of-season bonding session. Sydney's Daily Telegraph newspaper said the players were allowed into the offices early last Monday by assistant coach Kevin Moore. They upturned equipment and taped all the chairs together for a joke.
Well, what do they expect on Mad Monday?
The newspaper also claimed Bulldogs made abusive phone calls to club media manager Chris O'Brien and to News Limited reporters. Bulldogs chief executive Malcolm Node also confirmed that the club would investigate Sunday night. I'll be taking it up with anyone if there is a suggestion that they're doing drugs. At this point, though, it's just an allegation. The Bulldogs missed the finals this season. There you go.
Moving right along.
Drugs, mate.
The appeal hopes of Chappelle Corby, this is from the Herald this week, are in doubt after Indonesia's highest court refused to intervene in her case so potential witnesses from Australia could testify via video link. Corby's legal team said the peak Supreme Court in Jakarta refused a defence request to order a lower court to reopen Corby's trial.
By my analysis, it's impossible for the teleconference to be held, he said.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, it's just a little bit. She's sort of gone off the thing with Michelle Leslie now taking centre court. Michelle's prettier. I mean, I think probably the media got together and had a little vote and thought, nah, Michelle's a bit prettier. I think we'll dump Chappelle here. Let's go with the new one, the model.
It's really embarrassing to have to say this, Michael, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I really think
you're right. I think that the moment that Michelle got busted,
yep.
And she looks so gorgeous in her beautiful Muslim garb.
Here she is here. Model tells of squalor in tiny cell. No mention of Chappelle. And it's an absolutely stunning photo of her, not in the cell, of course, back in her modelling days. Jailed Aussie model Michelle Leslie had said she's frightened as she looks down the barrel of a very long sentence. The 24-year-old told her lawyer of fears for the future. Freedom, that word meant nothing to me. The word is now everything to me. She
Michael, that is also, that's about an 8-day-old article. I searched the whole of the Herald site, the Age site, a few other papers last night. Michelle Leslie has dropped from view since that article there about it's been a great godsend for me, blah, 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 peace. And now she's vanished into the silence of no news, which is a very good thing as far as I'm concerned when it comes to people in jail for stuff in Indonesia.
Yeah, little bits.
I think that Chappelle's only chance,
sleeps on a thin mattress side by side with 13 inmates in her cell measuring 4 by 3 metres. An open sewer runs from the squat toilet. There's no respite from the heat. A 15-year-old girl's in there with her. She's woken each day by the Muslim prayer call. She became Muslim, eh? Following prayer, she
waits
for her
turn
to
bathe
in a small basin. They're allowed one bucket each for water. For exercise, they're in a heavily bathroom. Her meals are rice, veggies and a watery juice. Once a week, she's given a bit of fish, food parcels from her friend Nora. Now, the boyfriend, Scott Sutton, the multi-billionaire...
Yep.
Scott hasn't set up camp outside in a luxury
campervan. He's been told absolutely not to. He has been told by the family, Michelle herself.
Yep.
She said, whatever you do, do not come over here. The media will hound you to death. Yep. It can't help me. The only thing that can help me is your bank account, and we've already got access to that. So stay where you are. Keep your mouth shut in Australia. Say nothing. Admit nothing. You know?
Yeah.
And it'll all reasonably quieten down. From my perspective now, Chappelle really only has one final option.
The original escape plan, the goddess.
I don't think quite so. I think that the only thing she's got left for her now is to actually get pregnant to Paris Hotman.
Oh, well, she could have been working on that.
Yeah, well.
I did see a few indications.
I believe that's probably her only real way out. And then there'll be some quiet little dispensation in the court that no one hears about with old... They'll grant her clemency because she's expecting the great Paris man's child, whatever.
I'm panicking about having so much news I can't get through it at this point. Hey, I've got more news on what happened at New Orleans. We've had a bit of a chat to the fella Hope. You know, they all said he was the hero and saved everyone.
Yep.
Here's a direct quote from Hopey.
What's he say?
Mr. Hope's backpacker group formed a barrier around the women and accompanied them when they went to the toilet or lined up for food, but that did not stop some of them from being grabbed and threatened by desperate men suffering drug withdrawal. This was not a racial situation. It was just people were fully peeking out.
Well, you can imagine everyone peeking out and not being able to get their regular hit of whatever it was, be it nicotine, alcohol,
speed,
crack, cannabis,
Kaiji baby,
everything. They're all having a really hard time coming off. So just imagine that.
The
Superdome full of people going cold turkey on something.
The good news
even if it's just television.
The undercover narcotics officers were put on boat duty going around looking for dead bodies. That was good news. Drug companies deny they're aggressive, I reckon. God, what a bunch of lying, disgusting, horrific people. Excuse me, I'm sorry about the little outburst. Hey, Hunter S. Thompson wrote a suicide note 4 days before shooting himself dead, Rolling Stone magazine has revealed. Do you want to hear about it?
Go.
The magazine, which employed Thompson for years, says the February 16 note was probably the journo's last written words. This is how it reads, Bob. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You got to listen to this.
Okay, I'm listening. What do you think I don't listen to you?
Well,
Do you think that my mind's taken up with technical problems?
Mate.
Go, read.
It reads, no more, all in capitals, the words begin with capitals. No more games, no more bombs, no more walking, no more fun.
Hang on, was that swimming, bomb? B-O-N-G?
Sick bomb, bombs.
Oh, bomb, B, bomb, yeah. No more bombs, okay.
No more swimming, 67. That is 17 years past 50. 17 more than I needed or wanted. Boring. I'm always bitchy. No fun for anybody. 67. You are getting greedy. Act your old age. Relax. This won't hurt. At the bottom of the page, Thompson's official biographer, Douglas Brinkley, says the writer drew a happy heart, the kind found on Valentine's cards. He left the note for his wife, Anita, and shot himself 4 days later at his house in Aspen after weeks of pain from a range of physical problems, including a broken leg and a hip replacement. Written in black marker, the note was entitled, Football Season Is Over.
Hmm.
In the latest issues of Stone, Brinkley writes, February was always the cruelest month for Hunter, an avid football fan. Hunter traditionally embraced the Super Bowl in January as the high water mark of last year, of his year. February, by contrast, was doldrums. He left the notes for his spouse, but Hunter was really talking to himself. The writer's ashes were blown into the sky from a cannon. We reported that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Live, I think. Anyway, I had to read you that because after Geelong last Friday, Bob, I'm just...
You gotta join Hunter.
No more fun. No more radio. No more. Absolutely not. Football is all just to teach you detachment. Detachment.
Football's like crap.
It's not crap, mate. The murder rate would soar without football.
I know that.
You guys don't understand.
I do understand that. But I don't feel... I can do both without murdering somebody and football.
Now, for all one last little bit of news. For all our Liberal voters out there who elected the radical Liberal MP, David Clark, he's let everyone know now...
He's a smoker.
Yeah. He believes the affair between Adam and Eve led to Satan taking control of the world. He goes now...
So who's Bob, Adam's or Eve's?
Sydney. He's giving glowing introductions to Reverend Moon and his wife.
Okay, so he's a Mooney.
He's a Mooney, and we've got him in there, and he was a Lib, and they didn't quite suss it out, the old Libbos.
He's a fucking Mooney. Jesus bloody Christ, no wonder it's gone to shit in a basket.
It's all happening, mate.
All right, what's my push? I'll push this one here. I'm out of here, mate.
Oh, look at this.
The Department of Immigration and Multicultural and Indigenous Affairs currently runs 6 detention centres across the country and offshore. Call us on 131881 to find out about a detention centre near you. You can also report an illegal or legal immigrant or citizen on 1-800-009-623 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, come on, mate. Don't run in. But you better be quick. Beds are filling rapidly. The Department of Immigration and Multicultural and Indigenous Affairs is an unbiased sponsor of NIMFM.
There you go. And to follow that up, I've got a story here.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing in the newspaper about a week ago, maybe a bit less, fat ass Amanda with the big gloves and the wire cutters out at Baxter Detention Centre? Villawood.
Yeah.
Wash my mouth, not Baxter, Villawood.
Yeah.
At Villawood Detention Centre, she was cutting the razor wire. Did you see those photographs?
Yeah, wasn't she digging a hole? Cutting razor wire or digging a hole?
She was... The one I saw... I've seen her dig a hole and I've seen her...
digging the hole?
Yeah, well, similar thing.
And putting the cake in her mouth.
Yeah, similar.
Love that one.
This time she had these pair of welding gloves on. The ones that come to your elbows. Big, raw, green leather welding... Yeah. Or light grey leather.
One,
so she had welding gloves to the elbows.
Yeah.
And safety goggles.
Yeah.
Safety goggles over her glasses while she snips the razor wire ceremoniously outside the Villawood Detention Centre.
Joking.
No, I'm serious. And having a photo taken in his garb, you know, here I am, it's 5 to 1, Michael, it's okay. Her photo taken, you know. And it's the whole thing about bringing down the razor wire in line with the Palmer Inquiry.
Yeah.
In line with the recommendations of the Palmer Inquiry. And when a reporter had the temerity to say, excuse me, Minister, aren't you just blatantly having a little photo op here? She actually had the nerve to say, silly woman, don't be stupid. The razor wire's coming down and somebody has to do it. That's what I mean, like, yeah. Okay.
There's a great cartoon.
If you'd like to have that double pass to that play at the Star Court next Thursday, if you can phone up and you can tell me what they're replacing the razor wire around Villawood Detention Centre with. If you can tell me what they're replacing the razor wire around Villawood Detention Centre, give me a call, 66 890 279 here at the office here. Somebody, I think Mario is out there as well. And we'll hit the phone. There it goes now.
And we did get a call.
Hang on, Mario's heading for it.
To get the ticket.
We may have a winner
straight
away.
We had a caller and they begged not to have to do the ticket.
I know that, I know. They said the answer was that Latham was on all kinds of drugs.
And Frank, he hasn't got the song. Jack took it home, I think, exactly.
Frank, that first song, that was off the Byron Peace CD, I believe.
Byron Peace March is 11 o'clock on Sunday,
I'll dig up another water. I just can't find it anywhere. I'll try the second one we did about water that was on one of those brand new CDs. I'll pop that on in a second, mate.
Hey, I've got this.
Perhaps it was that one.
Talking about Amanda.
But Amanda, anyway.
Yeah, so there's lots of news.
So it's all being replaced. The phone hasn't rung. Or Mario took a phone call. Maybe it was a winner. Maybe it wasn't. Mario, are you out there? Was that a winning answer? Is that a nod? There's another phone call. He's answering that one too.
Hey, what do you do about Muslims can't eat meat not prepared by non-Muslims? So what do all the Muslims eat in the detention centres?
They eat halal meat, don't they? But like there's a huge... Did you know that? There's a huge battle going on right now in Australia between two gigantic halal butchering organisations.
For the control of the halal meat market
here in Australia. And it's really dirty pool that they're playing out there, let me tell you.
I can't really tell you how good cartoons are unless you look right through the radio.
You can't tell us anything about how good cartoons are.
But there's a great one of Howard looking distressed, looking at Amanda, who's really looking trimmed.
Is Amanda tripping razor wire?
She's trimmed right down. So, Amanda, you tried the prison camp diet, and then what happened? But the best cartoon is in today's Herald. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen the cartoon.
It's the wickedest, cleverest, simplest cartoon.
Let's see if you can get its poignancy across... Across radio waves to our listeners.
I'll hold it up really close. To
okay,
the
right up under the microphone, please,
in
Michael.
The first one, it's Latham pulling, looking really blind and dumb, pulling a pin on a grenade coming into bowl. Then he hurls the pin at the ALP headquarters. He's left holding the grenade.
Nice work. I'm going to play a quick song here. We'll be back after this and I'll let you know who's won the double pass to see the Prospectors at the Star Court Theatre next Thursday night, the 22nd.
You in his sleep, and there is nothing I can do.